about, this is not that I watch all that much baseball because I don't, but there's oftentimes somebody that's standing in the way of the guy that's trying to sign in the home plate. He's standing there with the baseball in his, I think he's the catcher, he's standing there with the baseball in his mitt and he's trying to prevent the guy that's headed for home plate from getting there. Which reminded me of the scripture that was just given about one of the woes that Jesus pronounces in the 23rd chapter of Matthew against the religious leaders is that warned you Pharisees because you're not only not entering into the kingdom of heaven yourself, but those that would enter in, you're hindering.
Amen.
So they're kind of standing there like, this is not to pick on catchers in a baseball game, but they're standing there in the baseline to try to prevent somebody from getting to the home plate. That's their job. Their job is to keep this other person from making a score. Well, in the spirit realm, that's what's going on too, is evil spirits are really quite determined to keep us from getting to wherever it is that we want to go.
Amen.
That's their job. Their job in that evil angels are able to extend their life a bit longer if they can prevent somebody from getting the knowledge in our head that we need to put them out of existence.
Amen.
So it is their job to try to prevent us from getting to home plate, so to speak. And was reminded just before church of a scripture in the book of Lamentations. If you've ever had the book of Lamentations, you know it's aptly named.
Woe is me.
The context of the Lamentations is that it's written by Jeremiah, and this is after the children of Israel have gone into captivity into Babylon. And the entire book, he's just talking about what they used to have and how bad it is and what a rotten life they have, and he's lamenting for everything that they've lost. Well, one of the things he says is that our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of heaven. They pursued us on the mountains and somehow chased us down in the wilderness. The point is that our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of heaven. And the note on that is that evil angels are wiser and more knowledgeable, somehow more apt, more able to attack people in track one and two than the holy angels are able to get something good into somebody in track one and two, which is kind of the point of the Pharisees. They refuse to go into the kingdom of heaven themselves, and anybody that's trying to, you know, they're holding up their arms, they're closing the door, they're doing whatever they can do to try to prevent somebody from accepting the message of Christ and moving on into the kingdom of heaven. So what techniques do the evil angels use and what techniques do the Pharisees use? They use words. They're out there talking to people. They're out there saying, they're either calling something that's good, they're calling it evil, or they're calling something that's evil, they're calling it good. That's one of the techniques that they use, is you try to point to Jesus and say that he has a devil. What's working through him is the devil, telling Jesus himself that he was casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. That is one of the techniques that evil spirits use, is to try to point the finger elsewhere and say, that's what's evil, that's what's wrong, as opposed to helping us recognize that what is being said to us in this context is really what's wrong. Pharisees are out there trying to hinder people from entering into the kingdom of God. They refuse to enter in themselves, want nothing to do with it, mostly because that they would have lost their position within the community as well as lose relationships with their family members and so forth. So they didn't want to enter into the kingdom of heaven inside their mind because of what all they thought that they would lose. But when other people were making an effort to enter into the kingdom of heaven themselves, they'd do whatever they could do, word-wise, typically word-wise, to prevent somebody else from entering into the kingdom of heaven. So how are our persecutors swifter than the eagles of heaven? How are they more able to get thoughts into mankind? Well, first of all, they have a whole lot more options. They have a whole lot more spokesmen. They have a whole lot more people to be able to work through than God has beings to work through. If they can't get at us through our cousin Sue, then maybe they can get at us through our uncle Hiram. They will use whatever technique that they can use, because they could speak to so many people, the people being completely ignorant of it. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know why they're saying it. They're just saying it. They have a whole lot more minds to be able to work through, because the minds of the people that they're working through have no protection against them. They have no knowledge of what's going on. Whatever's there, and they just go ahead and they say it. If they can't do it through a human being, they can do it through television, or they can do it through a movie, or they can do it through a book. They have so many options to be able to get evil thoughts into mankind. So many more options at this moment in time than God has of being able to get His words across to mankind. An illustration I was thinking of was an article that I had read recently, which, you know how it is with they call it the pendulum swinging, and going one direction, then going another direction. And so many things that are well-intentioned start off in a good kind of sense, but then it goes too far. It just goes too far. And so one of the illustrations that I read recently, which just, you know, kind of tears at your heart, was of some school administrator here in Missouri who was a very faithful, believing person. And he was like a superintendent of schools or a principal in a school. He was in administration. Not that he would preach to students, and not that he would, you know, force religious instruction on them, but he would do things like write students notes or emails and would end it with the phrase, "God bless." Or he would encourage people to go to their churches or to pray in some kind of a form. Well, that was just enough to get somebody upset with them and therefore get him fired because he refused to stop doing what he felt was right. So there's one more person that we cross off the list as opposed to be someone who could be at least at that depth of spokesman for God. You cross that one off the list. You know, we got this one out of contact with children, with that out of contact with teenagers in his school. You know, cross that one off. One more success story as far as the pendulum having swung too far. So the reality is that our persecutors are swifter than the angels of heaven. There's a whole lot more options, whole lot more spokespeople for an evil spirit to be able to work through than for God to be able to work through. And it's also a lot more practiced. And the illustration that we get in this is in the parable that Jesus tells in the book of Luke. And this is the parable of the unjust steward. And the context that Jesus is talking about is of the religious leaders at that time. And how they were not keeping, as a matter of fact, we studied about this in the book of Malachi the other night too. God's anger in the book of Malachi is against the priests for not having people offer the correct sacrifices. Letting people get away with whatever they wanted to get away with. Offering up the lame and the sick and the old kind of sacrifices instead of the right sacrifices for God. So God's anger focus is against the religious leaders at that time. Well, same New Testament. Here's Jesus telling the scribes and the Pharisees that they're basically doing the same thing too. That here's God's standard, here's God's commandment, here's what God wants mankind to do. But you're not, number one, you're not telling people what God wants them to do. Number two, even when you know what God wants them to do, you're letting people essentially get away with whatever their evil spirits want them to get away with so that they will like you, so that they'll be your friend. And so in the parable, there's this man who is a steward over somebody else's goods. And he's been cheating the guy all along, and so he's going to lose his job. Well, in preparation for losing his job, he goes to this one guy who has bought either grain or the two illustrations. One is oil and one is grain. And he says, okay, you owe my master 12 bushels of grain. Well, cross off the 12 and put 6. And you'll be fine. He's the steward. He's the one keeping the books. So, you know, he can make this happen. Goes to somebody else who owes his master 10 barrels of oil. Just cross that out. Put 2. And there's a scripture in this parable that's one of those makes your head tilt and you got to think about it. It says that the Lord was, I don't know if it says pleased with the steward, but the basic idea is that children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. That's what the scripture says. And so, in the natural, this steward, since he knew he was losing his job, He is wanting to make friends with the people that he's been interacting with so that he can continue to work and have a job with them. And in order to please them and make them happy, he gives them these great deals. He lets them cheat his master in the hopes that when he loses his job, he will be able to go to them and continue to retain his income. And so Jesus says right there, and that's the illustration, is people in religious positions cheating God as well as cheating people. Although the people don't know it. But they are being cheated because they could have gotten sealed in their mind. They're not getting it because they're not doing what God had wanted them to do. But they don't know that they're getting cheated. But the person that does have knowledge, he does know that he's cheating God and to some degree that he's cheating the people. But his hope is that the people will continue to like him and continue to want to have this interaction with him. Well, so the scripture is there that the children of this world, breath of life, depth of spirit, are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Have more success, have more experience, have more practice at getting what we want in that depth of spirit than at getting what we want in a higher depth of spirit. We're more practiced at it. However much of our life we have lived, we've practiced 20 or 30 or 15 years of life at getting what we want in a breath of life, depth of spirit. We know how to do it to some extent. We could call it second nature. It's not God's nature. but it does just kind of come naturally. And those are hard habits to break. Those are hard things to stop doing. Those are hard things to tell ourselves in our mind. This is not what God would want me to think. This is not what I want to feel. This is not how to do it. Those are hard things to stop doing because they come so naturally. Because just whatever technique we need to use to be able to start to see what's going on. You know, the guy standing in the baseline is keeping us from getting the home plate. If that's an illustration for us, then fine. Use it. To realize that there's things that are being said to us, both from people out there, books out there, movies out there, things that are being said to us in our own head that are trying to keep us from getting to home base. Trying to dissuade us from making the forward progress. You know, it's my understanding, not that I've ever done this, but it's my understanding that people that slide into home base, you know, when they have those baseball shoes on, they have their spikes up to get the guy out of the way. So that they won't be standing in the way to keep them from getting home place. Well, guys, I said sometimes you got to get just downright stubborn and angry with an evil spirit. You know, because they're not going to lay down and just, oh, excuse me, I didn't know that's where you were going. They're not going to do that for us. Sometimes we're going to have to push them out of the way because that's what the battle is all about. That's what the fight is all about. So, guys, there's a whole lot of things that have been second nature to us, so to speak, for a very long time. And we can learn to change our thinking on it. We can learn to change our mind on it. We need to figure out what's trying to hold us up, what's trying to hinder us in that.